Well, this segment class, Grand Valley's College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, sends their experts our way to obviously discuss what's new in their lives, in the lives of liberal arts and sciences, and in the case of my next guest, in the art of authoring. Let's talk with you, sociology professor Laurel Westbrook. Thank you for you, Laurel.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Doing my homework. You did some study with the University of California, Berkeley, your PhD. Goodness gracious, spending time here at Grand Valley, dealing with your students, sharing your talents on social problems, sociology of gender, sociology of sexuality. And I bet you want to do this since you were, what, 6 years old?
I was raised by teachers. Both my parents are elementary school teachers, and I really valued education since I was a small child, having grown up in a household that valued education. Originally, though, I thought I was going to be a journalist. So I trained as a journalist for several years before I became a sociologist.
Nice. Well, again, there is a book out, so maybe you've put that dream to work. Tell us what you teach and who are your students in general, Professor?
I teach in the sociology department at Grand Valley State, and I teach mainly sociology of gender and sociology of sexuality. My students come from basically every department on campus because most of the stuff I teach fulfills general ed requirements. And so because students fulfilling general ed requirements take classes in lots of different subjects so that they get a wide range of knowledge. And so the classes I teach provide information about gender and sexuality to students who wouldn't otherwise study that topic.
Very nice. And how are you doing in these times?
Oh, goodness. Things are difficult. It's a very difficult time. The nice thing about sociology is that we learn as sociologists to take a step back and examine patterns in terms of what's going on in our society. So I've been doing a lot of analyzing what's going on as well. And sociology points to ways that we could be making the world a better place. So the stuff I study does give hope for change, which is very useful to have at this point in time.
Yes. Well, let's put your journalist, your author hat on. Just released your book, Unlivable Lives, Violence and Identity in Transgender Activism. Well, your labor of love is out. Tell us what the storyline is. What's it about?
Okay, so what I'm doing with this book is I'm looking at how we do anti-violence activism in the United States. So violence is a serious problem in the United States. We have higher levels of violence here than most other countries that we see ourselves as similar to. And we tend to address violence in a very particular way here, which is we do it through in the form of identity politics. And when I say identity politics, I'm meaning it in an academic sense, not the way that some people use the term now as a pejorative. But in an academic sense, identity politics is activism on behalf of a certain identity group. For example, activism to stop violence against women, or to stop violence against people of color, or to stop violence against LGBTQ plus people. So my book uses the case of transgender anti-violence activism to examine the motivation for doing anti-violence work this way, as well as the unintended consequences of this form of activism. And I term this, what I'm studying, identity-based anti-violence activism, which is not a very easy to say term, but it captures what the topic is.
How did you, let's just say, do your research?
Yeah, so I looked at documents produced by 13 national organizations doing work to try to stop violence against transgender people, starting in the early 1990s all the way to the present.
And why focus on transgender activism?
This is, it's both a topic that is important to me because I think it's important that we reduce violence against trans people, but also it's a perfect case for studying identity-based anti-violence activism because this movement started relatively recently. So this activist group or the sort of series of activist groups that occurred starting in the 1990s then followed in the steps of previous groups, so groups that had been doing work to stop violence against women or to stop violence against people of color or to stop violence against gay men and lesbians. And so they picked up all of the habits and the tactics of previous groups. And so by studying transgender anti-violence activism, I also have a lens into these other activist movements in terms of stopping violence against women and gay men and lesbians and people of color.
Professor Laurel Westbrook with us, Grand Valley's professor in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, specifically sociology professor, talking about your latest release, Unlivable Lives, Violence and Identity in Transgender Activism. Again, just follow up. You reveal that activists use a number of techniques with consequences that run, what, counter to the goal of making trans lives more livable? Put that in layman's terms.
Absolutely. So I find that identity-based activism is highly effective in terms of getting attention for the cause and getting sympathy for the identity group. It's moderately effective in terms of passing laws to try to reduce this form of violence, such as hate crime laws. However, it's ineffective in terms of actually reducing violence, and it has a number of unintended consequences that run counter to our goals. So the main negative unintended consequences are the misrepresentation of patterns of violence, as well as increasing fear in the members of the identity group. So what I find is that these groups tend to focus on just a few famous victims in order to get attention for the cause. So Brandon Tina or Gwen Araujo. And these victims in general are not representative of most victims. They're younger, they're whiter, they're more normatively attractive, and they tend to be killed in unusual circumstances. And so when you focus on those victims, then you accidentally create an idea about what the patterns of violence are. And if you don't know the actual patterns of violence, it's very hard to prevent that violence. They also use tactics to get attention for their cause that are very effective in getting folks to care, but they tend to make it seem like the level of violence is much higher than it actually is. And this can cause high levels of fear for transgender people.
Who's your target audience for your book?
My target audience is a combination of academics and activists. So I work very hard to write in an accessible way. I was originally trained as a journalist, and so I try to not write in super, you know, sociology lingo. And so my hope is that the book is interesting to activists as well as undergraduate students, graduate students, and faculty members who are interested in studying gender, violence, and social movements.
And I didn't mean to cut you off as you were finishing up your thoughts, but we look to finish up our conversation. What's, I guess, the take-home message from Unlivable Lives?
So the take-home message is that although we've been doing activism in this way for decades, we don't have to. We could be doing activism in a different way. And there's a number of recommendations in the last chapter of the book for how we can be doing activism to reduce violence against transgender people in a way that would be more effective than what we've done so far. So it's about rethinking how we try to make the world a better place.
Thank you for the footprint you are engaged in. Professor Laurel Westbrook, how do we find out more information about your work and you?
So you can go to the University of California Press website, which is the press that's publishing the book. You can find the book in any place that books are sold. And you can Google my name, Laurel Westbrook, and I have a website up on, up on the web.
You bet. On the internet. There we go. Laurel, Professor Westbrook, thank you very much for your work, and keep on doing what you do for Grand Valley. Take care.